10 human needs that need to be fulfilled to ensure optimum health. We won't get through them all before lunch, but we'll continue later. The first is the need for union. In the beginning, there was union. There was the singularity, so to speak, according to science and also a lot of theological ideas. There was a singularity smaller than the smallest atom, smaller than the smallest particle, according to Stephen Hawking. And then we had the Big Bang. So we had unity. Everything was in one. And the Tibetan makes an interesting statement about the great pralaya. He says, it is not that which is not. It is that which is esoteric. In other words, when we go back to our source, we are not that which is not. We are that which is hidden. We are still alive, we are still existence, but we're in a state of existence which is hidden from this reality we're in now. So before the Big Bang, it appeared that there was nothing, but that was illusion. There was really something there. We were all there, but we were in a state that is a different state than it is now. We were in the state of absorbing the last universe. Because in between lives, in between universes, we have the state of rest where we have the state of absorption. In between lives, we go there and we reflect on our current life and take all the lessons from it. And then we go to different places like the Deva chain where we act out things that we weren't able to fulfill in this life. So we can gain all the experiences, all the feelings necessary to, and the lessons from our past life to take then into our next life. So in the beginning there was union, and then there was the Big Bang, and everything gets scattered. After everything, and the universe is still expanding.
But this is a picture of God getting reincarnated.
Right. But as the universe is expanding, we, as the soul of the universe, are thinking of what is necessary to bring everything back together into union again. And because union is such an important part of our evolution, this is a great concept that we have to work toward. We feel the need for it within ourselves. I mean, could you imagine just if you were born in a sterile environment, a bunch of scientists decide to have you born as a baby in this room and you never see anybody else? You were just raised alone. They slide some food under the door. They maybe show you TV and stuff, but you never actually see a live person. Could you imagine how you would feel, how empty you would feel growing up? Matter of fact, these people that, these warp people that like keep their, you've heard stories, they keep a kid in some room and just sliding food under the door, and they kept him that way from maybe the age of 6 to the age of 16 or something like that.
Yeah, the story of Jeannie in California was, she was evidently 2 years old because that's when her development stopped. And yeah. When they found her, she was 13, but the size of a 4-year-old. And she was tied to the potty chair often, so she couldn't stand up straight. She walked like a bunny, like she had a potty chair tied to her back. And at night, they would enclose her in her crib. But the only word she ever heard was, no, and stop it. So the only vocabulary she had was, no, out of it. That's it.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because when the authorities finally discover kids in this situation, they haven't evolved. If they were put in that situation with five, even though they may be 16, they still think they're 5 or whatever age. The progression just stopped. It just shows how much we need each other. Now, one great illusionary teaching out there is we don't need each other. You know, I don't need somebody else to fulfill me. I just fulfill myself. This is an illusionary statement. We do need each other. And there's a statement in the Course in Miracles that I like. It says, the universe is incomplete without you. You know, if one person in the whole universe were to be extinguished, the universe would be incomplete. It needs us all. Now, when I say that, doesn't that register inside? Registers, doesn't it? Because a true principle, something that is really true, will register within it. And we all need each other. And we even need those reprobates out there in the world that don't see any enlightenment the way we think we do, right? We all need each other. And the Course in Miracles makes another interesting statement. It tells you who your Savior is. It doesn't say it's Jesus. But it says your Savior is... It says, think of the person in your life that irritates you and causes you more problems than any other person. And then it makes this statement, you know who this is. And then it says, this is your Savior. And it kind of goes along with the scriptures, which says, whatsoever you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. So that person who is the least in your eyes, who is the most irritating, who is the most outrageous, who is the most evil, who is the most annoying, okay? That person is the least in your eyes. Whatsoever you do to him, you do it unto Christ. So he is the Christ figure in your life. He is your Savior. And he's also your Savior from ill health because, or he or she, there are a handful of women that are a little bit hard to get along with. But whatever. But what's interesting is that about half the health problems is because of this person that's a person's Savior, when you think about it. When you meet somebody that's in ill health, they'll often start, boy, this so-and-so, he's caused me so many problems, or my ex-wife, or my current wife, or my kid. There'll be somebody in his mind that's just irritating the dickens out of him, and he's probably the cause of almost all of his ill health because he's putting so much attention on this individual that just irritates the dickens out of him. But on the other hand, he's sent to him to be his Savior. And how is he his Savior? Because he must look upon him as the Christ. He's the least of the brethren, as the scripture says. So you take this person who's the most irritating person in your life and you see the Christ in him. You see beyond his personality, beyond all the irritating things he does, beyond his words to his soul. When you can see that, then you are redeemed. You are saved. He is your Savior.
Yeah. Evil.
I mean, really, there are psychopaths out there. I mean, there are some rapists and,
Doesn't matter. Actually, the rapists you hear about in the paper, you hardly ever come across yourself. But let's suppose you were raped by somebody. You still have to look if that person is the one really agitating you. Oftentimes the evilest people aren't the people that cause us the most emotional problems. Let's say somebody kills your kid, for instance. Maybe that's the only time in your life you're ever going to have any experience with that person, so the experience comes and goes, you feel really bad about it, but you get through it. But meanwhile, it's your spouse that's bugging you currently. He bugs you not just one time. He's there again and again and again. You wake up in the morning, he's snoring or whatever. He doesn't put his socks away. He's just that really evil dude. He just did one thing, and that really bothered you, but he's not back bugging you every single day of your life. There's this one guy that's even harder than that murderer to deal with because he's there every day agitating you. And this is often the case in relationships. In your relationships, you may have somebody there every single day just agitating the dickens out of you. And this is your opportunity to be saved. Look and see the Christ in this person. And when you can finally do that and accept him, you'll be at peace. And then nobody will be able to faze you. You will not be able to have your peace disturbed, and you'll be able to make tremendous inroads into balancing your body's energy.
I was going to say, that's a hard thing to swallow for a lot of people, especially to
try to see the Christ in somebody that murdered their kid or something like that.
Yeah, right.
One thing, you know, and it's hard for me too, one thing I always think about is I was one of those evil guys in a previous life probably at some point.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, if we could look back on our hundreds of past lives, we'd probably cringe at everything we've done. And we'd probably cringe to see what we had to do to pay for what we did too, you know.
The good news is we're here now on this life and we've made some progress from those past.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay, I'll cover one more subject, then we'll go to lunch. The second need is the need for love. Union and love are very closely associated with each other. We all have that need for union because with the spiritual evolution of the whole universe, after the separation occurs, is to bring us all back together. And coming back together is the responsibility of humans throughout the universe. Humanity throughout the whole universe is the soul of the universe itself. And think of yourself. Think of little tiny itty-bitty human beings in your body being elements of your soul. Little bitty intelligences in there. Now, then picture the whole universe. These little itty-bitty intelligences called humans are the soul of the universe, which will guide the universe back to union. So it's our responsibility, and we're going to need all of us eventually, even those reprobates that irritate the dickens out of us. Sooner or later, they'll learn their lessons and they'll be one with us. But it may take a while. But then, love. Love is the desire to have union with another person. And love is an energy that pushes toward union. And we all have this because union is in the destiny of the universe. Love is that energy impulse toward union. And so because union is so paramount, it's the prime principle that we're headed toward, it makes love extremely important. It makes us have a very strong need for love. Now the trouble is, we all have different definitions of what love is, because for the more primitive person, love is just getting what you want. And then love is interpreted as possessing something. I love this car. I love this person. I possess this person. But then love is eventually transmuted until if you truly find out you really love somebody, you desire to help them and to serve them. And it's the higher love is completely unselfish. And the need for love will be unfulfilling until a person understands that true love incorporates the spirit of service to the other person. And so if we find that most irritating person in the world, and we look for opportunities to be of service to them, of help to them, not of help to them to do something evil, but of help to them to progress. And if there's no way to help them to progress, then we just put it on the shelf and wait, you know. And if an opportunity occurs, then you will help them. If it doesn't occur, then just wait and you serve other people that you have the feelings of love toward. So service is the key to understanding the true spirit of love and the fulfillment. Because how many people do you know that desire love and even maybe found love that still seem to be unfulfilled? We will be unfulfilled until we understand that true love is unselfish. When we love with an unselfish love, then that love will be fulfilling. It's a little bit like making the decisions we talked about. We decide to pursue the path of selfish love and it's not fulfilling. And we pursue another path and it's not fulfilling. Then we finally do love right. And it will be extremely fulfilling. because the astral world turns everything upside down. It seems at first, for many lifetimes, that love will only be fulfilling when we find somebody to serve us that will fulfill all of our needs. But when we turn it upside down and see it correctly, we will find out we are fulfilled when we learn how to fulfill our partner's needs. And when you fulfill your partner's needs, what's your partner going to do in return? He will decide, hey, I just don't want to fulfill my needs now. He's fulfilled he's helped me, so I'm going to help him. But if you have the selfish love and just out for you, what's your partner going to do? The partner is going to be just out for them. And so there'll be two separate entities. But when they're serving each other, then they're one unit in harmony.